Got four verses, 7 through 16. Really, it's the same subject, runs all the way down to verse 21, but I figure this will be about as far as I get to go tonight in these few verses. Tracing God's love. Tracing God's love. About 3 o'clock this morning, the Lord gave me the title of this, Tracing God's Love, and I'll tell you a few minutes where I got it from, and stayed awake about a couple hours for him preaching to me. I hope I could preach to you, but I won't be able to like he did me, I know. But about this tracing God's love. You know, the world is really, they don't know what love's all about. They just don't know. They just don't know what love's all about. You always heard love, what makes the world go around? Well, it does. But you know, the world, this word love, they just have a cast net, and they just cast it out there, and whatever is in that cast net comes up, they call it love. I mean, you may have a shrimp, you may have a flounder, you may have a crab, you may have a bass, you may have a mullet, but everything comes up in that cast net is love, or the world concerned. Well, there's a difference. There's a difference, but they don't understand that difference. They're all the same thing to the world. It says that in that verse 16 we fixed to read, that God is love. And we need to divide this up and understand what God's talking about. And John is an apostle of love. And just the great wonder of it, thinking of God's love and how much he loves me. And to think that God loves you. And Jesus loved me. This I know because the Bible tells me so. You know, that's a very true statement. I know this. But you know, a lot of people in this world do not know that God loves them, that Jesus loved them. They don't know that. But I thank you, Lord, for loving me. This world won't know about God's love. But in these verses, we're going to trace God's love. Let's read these verses of Scripture from 7 through 16 at this time now, as we trace God's love. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested love, the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son to this world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to also love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwells in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us, because he hath given us his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwells in him and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Let us again go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we just thank you for the great power of that word, and we just want to thank you for the Bible we hold so dear in our hands, because it tells us about the love letter to mankind. And God, we just want to thank you tonight for loving us, Lord, when we weren't even lovable, Lord, that you was willing to die on the cross of Calvary, Lord, while we were still in our sins. So God, we can never thank you and praise you and honor you enough for your love towards us. All we can do is just say thank you, God, for loving us, and thank you for who you are and what you've done on Calvary's cross, oh God, that you might be able to love us and make us lovable in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Again, we pray for those that we've already called out, those on the hearts and mind and unspoken requests this hour, God, that you might bless, that your name might be glorified and magnified, and hear this service here this night. And just want to thank you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and amen and amen. Tracing God's love. You know, there are three great needs to mankind. Did y'all know that? Every one of us in here and every mankind has three great needs. One of it is we have a need to be wanted. Mankind, we have a need, a great need, and that is to be wanted. Everybody wants to be wanted. But you see, everybody also, the second thing, wants to be needed. I want you to need me, I need you, and you need me, and we need one another. We need to be needed. But also, the third thing is we need to be loved. We need to be loved. And you know, a lot of people feel like they're unloved, but God loves them no matter where they are. God loves them. That's hard for you guys to get our mind around and say that God loves everybody, isn't it? You know, the people there is on drugs, and people there is in the, on death row, and people in prison, and just all kind of people. You know, God loves everybody. That's hard for me to get my mind around that God loves people, but He does. He don't love their sin. He don't love my sin. He don't love your sin. He don't want what they've done. But God loves that soul. Gosh, that's hard for me to get my mind around and grip that God loves everybody. Because He sent His Son to die on the cross, and we'll find out for the sins of the whole world. I mean, the murderer and the rapist and the, everybody. He loves everybody. And He sent His Son to die on the cross for the sins of everybody, not just for mine, and not just for a good moral person that you may be, you know, but God says the sins of the whole world. The world talks about this love, but yet they know so very little about it. They just cast that old cast net out in the world and just pull it up, and whatever's in that cast net, they call it love. But the Bible is man's love letter. God gave it to us as a love letter. Just read through the Bible how God loves us. As we trace God's love, and through the eyes of this world, we can't see too much of this world. As we trace God's love through this world, it kind of dies out in this old world. But you know, God gave me an illustration. As I said, He woke me up, and I wish I could talk an hour on this that He gave me. And you know, and this love, as we trace God's love, you know, all of us live by a branch. We call it a branch, and up there in the mountains, they call it brooks and streams. You know what? Every one of us lives by a branch. Y'all know that? Most of the time, we live by maybe one in front of your house, or back of the house, side of your house, but we all live close to a branch or a creek or a river. Is that right? Anybody not too far from your house would be a branch or a creek or a river or whatever, you know? And this branch and this creek, I know, as I was young, you know, the branches, we call them branches, and of course now, you know, all of them's running, you know that? All of them's full, but there come a time, you know, probably in the summertime and probably this summer when they'll all dry up. Well, I remember an old branch there by our house that never went dry. I mean, there weren't no paved roads back then whenever I was young, and now you go down, you could swim in a branch. I mean, always run across the road. It's pretty water. I'm going to tell you what, I've drunk water out of it. I bathed and had, you know, and caught fish and everything. You know, everywhere you go in our country, there was always these branches that was always running. I mean, hardly ever you see in this cypress pond that there was branches and they was always running. And these branches and all, they never quit running. Hardly ever that you see them dry up, you know. Then there'd be holes in them, you know. This pretty, but you know, if you want to trace this branches and every one of them, you trace these branches, it wouldn't be a very hard problem. You trace these branches, and most of them around here, they're going to wind up down there at Big Creek. Big Creek's got two big streams that run through it, and all along the way, if you go down there, you'll find out where this little branch runs at. It goes into one of those runs, and they go on down. As you walk down this run, you see, after a while, there'll be another branch coming into that run. You go on down there, be another branch coming in that run, and you know, and then that creek, it gets bigger and bigger and wider further down that you go, and then on down a little bit further down in the creek, you know what they call the head of the river. Both of those streams, they come together for the what they call the Little Sotillo River. Well, the Little Sotillo River, you know, as you keep going down the Little Sotillo River, you know, there'll be two or three more branches going in that river. As far as you go down, they just keep getting bigger and bigger and bigger and wider and wider. And then the Little Sotillo River, it picks up there, the Big Sotillo River there on the other side of 301, and then both of them there runs together, and it makes it even wider. Now, you keep tracing it up, and it picks up more branches and more branches and more little traces of water right on down. And then it opens up into the great vast ocean. You see, that's God's love. And John wants us to trace this love here in these verses of scriptures and see how it just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And, you know, it just keeps on going. But, you know, mankind, we have about run our branches and creeks and rivers. Y'all know that mankind have? You know, either the pup mills, they've ditched out all the cypress ponds used to catch fish. And every branch there was around here, you could catch a mess of fish. And every pond and cypress pond and every branch there was always a mess of fish. There's always something that you could do. But you see, mankind has also stopped up, you know, all of our branches, you know, and dug out our ponds. And, you know, now it won't take long for this water. It's real full now. It won't take long if it don't rain anymore. This water is going to be gone, you know. And it's going to be hard to trace these branches. Because they'll be dry. You won't know where they go until you just be walking out there in the swamp, and you won't know where it's going to go. You can't trace them. It's hard to trace. They've drained them. But Because you know one thing that we have done, we have drained them. And you see, before there weren't very many dams. A lot of branches now, they dammed up. You know, people, ain't nothing wrong with damming up. But if people want to see you dam up the branches, you know, and it stops the water flow. But used to, there weren't no dams on branches. There were no dams that I ever remember around this part of the country. I remember when the first was dug there by a house and where the Kimbrell's place was, they dug a, before he ever owned it, you know, Riley Allen, some of y'all might remember him. But anyway, they dammed up. There were no dam. You see, always water's always a running. Well, you know what, mankind, we've kind of, John wants us to know, I can remember whenever the water always run. I know what it was like, but now maybe my sons and my grandsons and all of my grandkids, they don't know what it is for the water to always be running out of these branches. Because we've dammed them up, and not only that, you know, we've dug out these cypress ponds, and we ditched everything out to the creek, the river, and then it's gone. They don't know what it's all about. Because we kind of made a mess out of our water table, and you see, we don't know, we can't trace it till it gets bigger and bigger and greater. We don't know how it's supposed to be. Well, we've done that to our spiritual world also, and to our brotherly love also that we have. We've kind of dammed up this world, and we've mudded up God's love to one another and love for this world, and we can't hardly trace it to where it grows bigger and bigger and goes out to the river. In Matthew 27 and 37, it's two great commandments. It says one thing, love the Lord with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. And the second great commandment is, love thy neighbor as thyself. Now, John wants to trace this love because, see, John is trying to tell us that you remember how the branches used to be. Some of you are not old enough to remember how the branches were always running, always fit. But those that do, John reminded us in these verses of scriptures now to remember how God's love, and in this word, love thy neighbor as ourself. And he's carrying us back and opening up these branches and all of letting this water where we can trace God's love to one another into our family. The trace of love to our neighbor. Now, as I said, back in the time whenever the branches was running, you know, the farmers, you know, sometimes we could trace that love of the neighbor as yourself. And back in those days, the love of God, and I'm going to use that for an illustration now of these branches being closed up. There'd be a neighbor was sick, you know, and there weren't no food stamps, weren't no welfare, weren't no unemployment, and someone got sick, one of the farmers got sick, you know, and you know what, his neighbors would take the mules and the horses over there, and they would plow his crop. I mean, they would plow this crop. It didn't matter if it's a backer, the corn, whatever it is. They needed a sick, they got help. You know what? They would help them out. And then maybe they got sick and they needed to gather this crop. And they'd go and they would gather a barn, a backer farm, or they'd help them pick their cotton or whatever they needed. Because, you see, at those times, you could trace God's love to one another. Back when the water was running in these branches, you could trace God's love. But it's hard to trace God's love now. They had time to visit and you know, and if you wanted to go to somebody, if you ever had to travel anywhere around our community and you just seen somebody with a watermelon patch over there, you just go over and help yourself. They didn't care. Help yourself. You do get you down a stalk of cane or two. If you walk by there, we've done that many a time. They didn't care. Help yourself. That's good. You know, anything that you need to do. You could trace God's love back then. And John says, I want you to understand how it really is. And, you know, sometimes in sorrow and sickness, I can remember whenever someone in the community would die, and, you know, people go over and they would sit up all night long, maybe for a day or two. They'd care if they didn't have to worry about voting for the church to feed anybody in the community. Trace God's love, and you see people done it without anybody asking and voting on it. Because you could trace God's love then. The branches was open with God, and you could see where it come from. And they would help out with sorrow all the way they could. Sometimes when someone's backer barn would burn down, I remember when they would be a barn raising. And people go over and build that barn back. And then sometime a wind would blow their pack house away or their shelter away, and people would go and give them a day's work or 2 days' work and put their shelter back up. Now they say, well, they ought to have insurance. They won't care now. You ought to have insurance on it. See, you dammed up the trace of God's love. And people come and work on and on. God's love was easy to trace. But man, you know what? We've dammed up God's love in so many ways. And not only man, but we allow our government also. That's been the biggest dam on the stream of love that we have, that we cannot show love as we ought to. It's dammed up because, you see, the streams And we replace that. I'm telling you, when there's somebody needed to, I'm going to kill hogs, and you want to come on over and help me kill hogs. And you know what? You can kill all you want. We'll kill hogs. You want a side of beef? People sick, they go pick their garden stuff and help them put up vegetables. But now that's been replaced now, and you can trace that type of love. You know it comes from God, but now they got food stamps. I ain't talking about food stamps. I ain't talking against it. But I'm just telling you, when you dam up the type of love that God intended for us to have one another, it says love thy neighbor, it's hard to trace God's love through food stamps, amen? And not only food stamp, but you see, welfare program. You know, some people need it now because of the shape that we're in, but it's hard to place God's love through a welfare program because you're dammed up. Really, we should be helping one another. And then you see there's the unemployment. There was no unemployment whenever I come along, I can tell you that, because there was plenty employed. There was plenty of work to do. I guarantee you, you never caught up. Now, you might not make much money, but you know, at that day and time, you didn't go ask somebody for a job. You didn't say, well, what you going to want me to do? I don't know if I want to do it. What am I going to be doing? How much you going to pay me? You didn't ask anybody how much you going to pay me, and you didn't tell you what time. You got anything you want me to do? Yeah. Well, you go to work. But nowadays, can you imagine some of our young people out raking straw? Go and ask one of these Mexicans, can I help you rake straw? Not on your life, you ain't going to get them to do it. Because we have dammed up the stream of God's love. He says, love thy neighbor as thyself. We have dammed that up, and then we have allowed our government to dam it up. It's hard to trace God's love through these programs. And even we can't even share the love that we need for one another. But John here traces God's love now, and he opens up these branches of love and these creeks, you know, that we might see and keep on down to the river of love. It gets broader and broader and wider and deeper of God's love. And he said, I'm going to carry you back to where, really what it's all about. Now, the first thing, love is sure evidence of it, is I've read these verses of Scripture, because of the nature of our Father. He's carrying us back down to the very nature of it, the very nature of our Father. God's opened up these branches of love because he has revealed himself in Jesus Christ. You see, that's where it all starts at. God opens up these channels and these branches and these creeks because he has revealed his Son, Jesus Christ, to everybody. Through himself, he has revealed himself. Religion of this world has dammed up God's love. Y'all know that? I wish I had time to go more into it. I don't want to even get my sermon. Then Jesus Christ came, and Christians really is basic is love. That's Christianity. That's the basic of love. And verse 7 again, beloved, let us love one another. John said, here's the trace of this love. For love is of God, and everyone that loves is born of God and knoweth God. Now, the thermometer that takes our spiritual temperature, you know, is love. That's love. That takes our spiritual temperature. One thing I'm going to tell you what we need in this church, and that's no more love. I need to be more lovable. You need to be able to trace that love. And if we was put on trial for being a Christian, the one evidence that would convict us would be love. The one evidence would convict us would be love. Now, there's two things here in this first part I'd like to talk about, and that's it proves this love of God. It is the first thing that you're in the family of God. That proves God loves you because you're in the family of God. Now, you're serving God, and you're God's children. You see, because whenever I was born into the Boyette family, I had a nature of my parents. You did too. But I've been born again, and I have the nature of my father also, but God my father. I took on his nature. Every one of us had the first nature of our mother and father, but you see, that second nature, when you're born again, you get another nature. 2 Peter 1 and 4 said, whereby are given unto us exceedingly great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partaker of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. You see, all this is dammed up God's love. But you see, John says the scripture here and opens up this channel of love, these creeks and these branches has been dammed up. And he says, you see, you're opened up because God loves you and you are of God and you're precious. He's given you his spirit. Every one of us is born again. The world dams up God so much love that they don't know what love's all about. You see this man on television, he called him the blade runner over there in Australia, killed his girlfriend. Y'all see him been on TV, been on trial for, y'all all seen that? Or I always want to watch television. Anyway, you know what? He's on trial for killing his girlfriend. Accidentally said he accidentally shot her. I don't know where he did or not. The thing about it is, he's crying, says he loved her, but he shot her and killed her. Now, that's what this world's all about. I love you, honey, and I'm going to shoot you and kill you. You know, that's the type of love. It's so damned up. They don't know. They just cast net out in the world, and whatever comes up might cast net. It's just love. It's just love, but that's not God's love. God's love, because you see, God created this world, and it was motivated by love. But the attitude that people have, they got all kind of mixed up attitude about love. But God created this world, and he was motivated to create this world by love. And also, when he created us, he was motivated to create us by love, because you see, he loves us. And he created the heavens that we may have a place that he might love us for all eternity. That was motivated by love. Motivated by love, he created earth and the heavens. Motivated, you know, us, he created us, you and I, that he might love us. But then he created heaven, you know, that we have a place he might love us to all eternity. I want you to think about this for a minute. It took me a while to grasp this because I thought about, he created hell. Did y'all know that? He created hell. You know, he created hell out of the motivation of love. Grasp this now. He created hell for the devil and his angels or his demons, not for mankind. But he created a hell, you know, and motivated out of love, a place, you know, that his children would forever, ever be separated from those that rebelled against him. That was for the devil and his angels. He done that, and he motivated by love that he made hell, because a place that you and I would be separated from those who had rebelled against God's love and God's Son, for the devil and his angels. He didn't create hell for mankind, because he gave mankind a way to escape, a way that nobody has to go to hell. Well, why would God send anybody to hell? God has never sent nobody to hell. You've got a free choice. We'll find out. We won't find out because we don't have time. But in these verses of Scripture, you know what? Jesus Christ died for the sins of the whole world, every sin of the world. I can't grasp that. But anyway, you know, the first thing, love is proved because you are a family. You're in the family of God. But also the second thing, love is proved because you are in fellowship with God. In verse 8, he that loves not knoweth not God. For God is love. That's pretty simple, isn't it? The characteristics. We're in a fellowship now. The characteristics he's talking about here. Now, there's a difference between knowing Jesus Christ and knowing about Jesus Christ. A test, if you're saved, you know what that test is? Do I love people? Because if you got the love of God in like we should have, we will love people. Not their sins as God, but God will love through us. Test of this love. How close are you to God tonight? How close are you to God tonight? Let me tell you that test, how close you are tonight. It's how much love you have in your heart towards God. How much love you have in your heart towards God, it shows you how close you are to God in a test of love. That branch might be overflowing. You see the river when Jesus Christ comes to us, that river of overflows in us, that living water that overflows in us. That's what he's talking about, that, you know, that dam will be broken and that swamp might run again. Those branches will run again, overflowing into what you see nowadays. Right now we're having an overflow of the water, the branches, the river, the streams, and right on down to the creeks. And that's what God intends for us to have, an overflowing river of love in our heart. It just keeps on overflowing and overflowing. The second thing, love, supreme example. True love is sacrificial love. Verse 9. In this was manifest the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Kind of sound like John 3:16, don't it? That word manifested, pay close attention, because you see it means to come out into open. Come out into open means a public display. When Jesus Christ was on the cross of Calvary, and the cross of Calvary is God's neon flash. Y'all remember those neon lights used to be a flashing, used to be neon lights would flash all the time. Well, this is God's neon light sign that God loves you. All over the world, the cross, that's what it is. We just celebrated our Easter, and the cross across this world, you know, is the flashing neon sign to every man in this world, every person ever been born, neon sign that God loves you, God loves you. The Bible, heaven declares the glory of God, but Romans 5 and 8 tells us, but God commits his love towards us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That neon sign, that is true love, because it is that supreme example of love. True love is sacrificial love. God sent his only begotten Son into this world, like John 3:16, only begotten. That word only begotten there in the Greek is just one word in the Greek. It means one of a kind. Never be another Jesus, only Son, one of a kind, the very best. God spared nothing for your salvation. Y'all know that? My salvation, the world's salvation. God spared nothing. Back in the 60s, what we call it, the hippie movement, you hear a lot about this, that you see free love, free love. You see, there's another cast net. They cast it out there. Then in the 60s, these hippies, they thought they created love. They cast a little cast net up, and everything come up in that net. They called it love, you know. Free love. But I'm going to tell you, if it's love, it's not free. It cost. Love cost. It cost Jesus Christ's life. He said he loved the church and gave his life for it. Now, you're the church tonight, born again. And I'm going to tell you, it wasn't free. That love is not free. That's pure love, true love, and a true love always cost. He gave his life for the church. True love is also selfless love. Verse 9 again. True love is always a love that seeks to meet the need of someone else. You know, that's what Jesus Christ done to prove his love on Calvary's cross. He saw a need. God sent his Son. He knew that his holiness need to be satisfied, and only be satisfied with the sinless Son of God. And the sinless Son of God, we know that it cost, and he sought not his, not my will, but thy be done, O Lord, my Father, the needs of others. I was in the dark, God sent the light. I was in deadness, and God sent his life. I was in doom, and God sent his love. Jesus Christ died that you might live through him. That we might live for him, and that we might live with him. Live with him. True love is a selfless love. But see, true love is also a satisfying love. Verse 10, herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. That word propitiation means satisfaction. God was satisfied. Jesus Christ died in our place, took our wrath, and satisfied God's holiness. 1 John 2:2, we already studied this book, and he is the propitiation for our sin, and not for ours only, that's to say, but he says, but also for the sins of the whole world. There was enough of blood shed on Calvary's cross 2,000 years ago to cover every sin that had ever been sinned before Jesus Christ and after Jesus Christ. Every man, can you imagine that? Can you wrap your mind around and understand that? That blood was strong enough to cleanse every sin of everybody. I'm telling you what, in the Old Testament there's a word, it's called mercy seat in the tabernacle in the temple. Y'all remember that word called mercy seat? Where they sprinkle the blood in, the high priest went once a year. Well, that's the same word there for propitiation. That mercy seat where God's love was satisfied. atonement for that sin. Matthew 1 and 21 says, "And she shall bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." But you see, you have to accept that. The reason people, everybody's not saved because they won't accept it. They just will not accept it. And there's no such thing. Now, a lot of people, and we have some churches, a different denomination, they believe in limited atonement. You know what that means? That Jesus died for the few. He died for those elect. There are no such thing as limited atonement, because he said he died for the sins of the whole world, not for a few. The difference is accepting it. Now, I'm not a rich man, as some people in here is rich, but if you owed $1,000, and I was rich enough, and you had $1,000 down at the bank, and I went down and I deposited $1,000 in your account, when you got ready, you could write a check and pay off that debt that you owed for $1,000. But as long as it stayed in that bank and you didn't write a check and you didn't accept, you knew that $1,000 would do you no good whatsoever. Jesus Christ has deposited in every man's bank account the price of sin, but it has to be accepted. It has to be accepted. You have to receive the gift that God has given us. You know, God has given every mankind a gift if you would accept it. The gift of God. True love also is a sharing love. True love is a sharing love. As verse 10 has already read, he says, "Send a son into the world." You see, as a son of man, Jesus Christ was born into this world. But as a son of God, he was sent into this world. The greatest mark, how much I love God, is how much or what I give him. What I give God. What do you give God? But not only that, why do you give it to him? And not only that, how do you give it to him? You need to study those three things. What I give him, why I give him, and how I give him. Now, we're not just talking about your tithes and offering either. I mean, it goes a lot deeper than that. But what you give God. How much time this week do you give God? You know, some people don't have enough time to give God, not even an hour a week. Not even an hour a week. But as we move on, oh, I've enjoyed this. Love is our spiritual asset in verse 11 or 12. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to also love one another. Amen. But no man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwells in us, and his love is perfected in us. Zero in on that word perfected. God's love is perfected in us. What does that mean? It means to fill out, which somewhere will be lacking. It means to complete, to fill out that perfected. God so loved the world, he sent his only begotten son. John 3 and 16, that's what it says. Lots of people do not know that. That branch of love has been so dammed up by these worldly ideas of mankind that they do not understand that. But love is perfected when we care that type of love to a lost world. That God wants his love to be perfected in you. How's it going to be? How's his love, the love of God, is going to be perfected in you when we care that love to a lost world and they see God, they can trace God's love through you and I, because through you and I that we live our life, and they can see that, and we open up these branches and these it's been dammed up, and they might see this love and can trace God's love all the way, and gets broader and broader and wider until it empty out into the ocean. That's how God's love is perfected in me and you. When we're willing to love one another, God says we ought to love one another. Love is perfected when we carry it to the lost and dying world. John 13, 34 and 35 says, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another." They might see this love and trace this love. It's manifest, made perfect, because they see it. The way the world finds out that God loves them, by the way that we act towards that lost world. Love provisions in verse 13, it says, you know, as we think about that, "Hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us, because he have give his spirit to us." Give his Holy Spirit to us. 1 John 3:24 also says, and he that keepeth his commandment dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abides in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. God give you a great gift. He will give you the Spirit of God. Now love is sometimes, as we see it, it's supernatural. God's love is supernatural, produced through us, as you think about this. You know, God commands us to love. You know that? He said, you know, love one another. That's a command. You know, love people. You know, a lot of people's not lovable. You say, well, God says, I'm going to love people. I'm come out and love. So you grit your teeth. I'm going to love that person. I'm going to love that person. I'm going to love that person, you know. And you grit your teeth and you just reach down in that bucket of your heart, you know, and you just draw up. Instead of love, you draw up nothing but dust. You don't get no water. You grit your teeth and say, I'm going to love that person. I'm going to love that person. Love is something that it cannot be worked out in you. Did y'all know that? His love is something that cannot be worked out in you. But it's something that God works out through you. Through you. Romans 5:5 also says, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Spirit which he given us. You know, Christianity is not, I always thought this, you know, a Christian ought to be, we ought to live for God. But that's not really Christianity, but letting God live through us. You know, people say, I can't live the Christian life. That's also correct. But, you know, God don't expect us to. But he does expect us to let him live through us. There's a great difference, you know. Christian love is not your effort to love others for God. Your effort. But yielding and allowing God to love them through you. God says, now he commands you to love that person. Now you can say, well, I'm going to love that person. No, God says, you know, you allow me to love that person through you. That's hard to do, isn't it? That's hard to do. He's not commanding you to love that person in your own effort. Grit your teeth and say, I'm going to do it. He says, no, you allow me to love that person through you. You just yield yourself to me and I love that person through you. Love profession. But professes, verse 14 and 15. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that he is the Son of God, God dwells in him and he in God. This carries us back to what we've already covered about, you know, he tells us others about Jesus Christ. We tell others about Jesus Christ. And love, compassion, and possession, verse 16, and we have known and believed the love that God has to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Well, as we see this, living in the atmosphere of love, that word dwell and abide, living in an atmosphere of love, in the presence of God. There used to be what they call the biker warehouses in Blackshear. Y'all remember the biker warehouses in Blackshear? And I didn't ever work in a warehouse. I mean, some of y'all did probably. I don't know, Darryl might have worked in there. I don't know if Marshall, anybody. But you go in there in that biker warehouse, though, and you stay very long. You know what you smell like, tobacco? The whole Blackshear smelled like tobacco on sales day. You smell like tobacco. You stayed in the presence, in the atmosphere of that tobacco. You smell like tobacco. But not only that, you know, the people used to work at, there used to be a cigar factory in Waycross, and the people working in the cigar factory, you know, when they come out, they would smell like a cigar. You know, when Mary had that ointment, and she broke that box of ointment to anoint Jesus Christ, the whole room, the favor of the whole room filled up with that anointment. That's what God says. You live and dwell in the atmosphere of God's presence. You know what? You'll start smelling like God. How did God smell? I don't know. Anyway, God, John says for us, you know, this love that God wants to do for us. And you know what? God will not live and dwell in the absence of love. He will not live and dwell in the absence of love, because wherever God is love. And he won't dwell in the absence of that. See, the branches of this world have been so damned up. The people, it's hard for them to understand what love is all about, and God's love, they can't trace it. They don't know. They don't hear about it. And it's being damned up more all the time in many, many different ways. But you see, John carries us back and says, I want to show you now how to tear down some of these dams. I want to show you how that you could trace God's love. And he carries us back to the very Son of God on Calvary's cross, all through these verses of scriptures and right on. And I got hushed right now. I'm getting carried over time. Those young ones want to go to school tomorrow, and I got hushed, and I wish I could keep going. I thank you right now. And I'm going to cut it off as quick as I can. I'm going to have him put on a song. We have a silent prayer. And thank you very, very much for tonight. And at this time, would anybody like to say anything? If not, have a moment of prayer, silent prayer.